Welcome to the Westminster Effects Doxology Podcast, where we exist for the glory of God and the tone of His people. I'm Cody Fields, president of Westminster Effects. Go buy stuff. Your guitar at westminstereffects.com. You can join the discussion in the Westminster Effects Doxology Podcast Lounge on Facebook. Make sure you subscribe and share the show. Hey, put this in your Instagram story. Let people know about this stuff, especially if we've ruined your life. I'm joined in person by...
Hey everybody, Bradley Cox, pastor at Resurrection Church in Greer, South Carolina.
So, I just got back from the National Association of Music Merchants show in Anaheim, California.
And you said it was very productive?
The NAMM show, yes, it was very productive. Actually ran into some people who have been listening to the podcast.
Fantastic.
I think I got a dealer because they've been listening to the podcast.
Awesome.
Which was really cool. Also ran into a guy who just started listening like a couple episodes ago with the Osteen stuff that we talked about.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, with the NAMM show, everybody gets a kick out of the Osteen distortion. This is just kind of a known thing at this point. Mm-hmm. I haven't told you this. A guy on Lakewood's production team came by and got a huge kick out of it.
Really?
And he said he's going to buy one.
Really? Well, how about them apples?
Right. So I figured it'd be a good exercise to talk about, like, we've dunked on the prosperity gospel frequently mm-hmm. on this, but this is also a branded podcast associated with my business.
Right.
Right. So am I a hypocrite? Because I literally just got done with a trade show across the country that cost probably $4,000 or $5,000 out of my pocket, so I could go make more money.
So you could make more money,
right? Like, it was literally me telling stores, "Give me your money, and I will give you these things."
Right,
right.
Yeah.
So what gives?
I mean, I think there's a really, really simple answer to that that we could unpack as much as we want.
Mm-hmm.
But the simple answer is nowhere in Scripture do we see that a theology of suffering and an appropriate understanding of faith
mm-hmm.
Excludes us from endeavoring to work hard and earn as much as we possibly can.
Right.
The Scriptures are just all over the Bible talking about being good stewards.
Yep.
Maximizing the opportunities in front of you. That's mm-hmm. Ephesians chapter 5.
Yep.
Jesus told a parable about being shrewd.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's just tons and tons of scriptural calls to absolutely do our best.
Yep.
And do it all for the glory of God.
Right.
You know, Piper says it's not a sin to make a lot of money.
Right.
He says it might be a sin to keep a lot of money.
It could be, yes.
It could be.
Yep.
I think that, you know, I do
appreciate how he says it could be. He doesn't go into like effectively a poverty gospel. It might be, like, depending on your heart, it could be.
Right. I mean, the opposite of the prosperity gospel is not a poverty gospel.
Mm-hmm.
The opposite of the prosperity gospel is abiding in Jesus and depending on the Spirit,
right,
and grace and faith and counting it all joy when we suffer and falling to our knees when we prosper.
Right.
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 Because at that point, when I tell our folks, if you make a lot of money, you should pray harder than when you are in lack.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a great responsibility that's been entrusted to you.
Right.
And we can talk about this more. I don't think that it's wrong or it's sinful or it's ungodly to save, to plan for retirement,
mm-hmm.
to make investments that, you know, bring dividends that might help you send your kids to college. I don't think it's wrong to have things. I do think the Bible, the New Testament in particular, aims us at what you might say is a culturally relevant moderate lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I could have more than I do,
right?
But I don't.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I could probably afford to have a newer vehicle than the 22-year-old SUV that I drive.
You did that all on your own volition too.
No, that's right. I did that because I don't need any more than that.
Right.
I really don't. And that was a conscious decision.
And the funny thing is, this was a recent purchase within the last few months.
Yeah, I just bought it. I bought it this summer. It's 22 years old, and it's paid for, and it runs just fine. And it does what I need it to do. So I'm not trying to laud that in sort of a bragging way, but I do think that there is some merit to restraint. But the point is, earning and making a lot, doing our best, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. Do it for the glory of God, is a good thing. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes, man should work. Man should earn.
And work is not a byproduct of the curse. Work was commissioned, like Adam was commissioned to work the garden before he fell.
That's right.
It's just the tedium.
Yep.
That came with the fall.
Yep. Yeah. So I think if you think of yourself as a steward, not an owner, that to me is really a game changer.
Right.
Is that people talk about it all the time. You can't take it with you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's true, but I think that's even the shallow end of the pool when it comes to our doctrine and our theology of what it means to be a steward of what God has entrusted to us.
Right.
To live in this life on this side of eternity as citizens of heaven, where the promise is, you know, you might have a brand new SUV.
Mm-hmm.
You might have a house twice the size of mine and yours.
Mm-hmm.
But the promise held out to us is that everything's going to be ours.
Right. Right.
You know, we're not anti-prosperity. It's just that the eternal longings of abundance are not going to be fully satisfied until the kingdom comes in its fullness,
right,
until Christ returns.
Right. I think the stewardship thing is an important point, because you often hear, like, all right, so socialism, let's just, cards on the table, socialism is not biblical.
No.
The government owning everything is not biblical. Jesus has not commissioned the government to own everything and then to divvy out resources as they see fit.
Right.
So the Protestant work ethic is Christian because it's Protestant, because it's from the Bible, right? Mm-hmm. Where, you know, we can get into things like distributism and stuff like that, but the fact remains, free markets arose out of a Christian understanding of everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the temptations within good free market capitalists like myself is to say, it's my business, I can do whatever I want.
Mm-hmm.
Well, no.
Right.
There are still biblical laws and civil laws which should be on the books against things like fraud and intellectual property theft, even if it's accidental. I'm sorry, Chick-fil-A.
right.
Stuff like that. But then even how you treat your employees.
Sure.
How I treat any, well, I don't have any full-time employees. I have a couple people I contract out with, but I can't just not pay them.
Right.
I can't just change the terms of our agreements on a whim, because that's not how contracts work.
Right.
My yes is to be yes and my no is to be no.
Mm-hmm.
And so, no, I can't do everything that I want, because ultimately I answer to Jesus.
Right.
For all of it. He's the King of Kings, and I guess you could stretch that out to be business owner of business owners.
I don't think that's wrong.
Right.
I mean, when David, David decided he was going to build a temple for God, and God said, no, you're not building the temple. Your son's going to build the temple, but you're going to raise the money for it.
Right.
And you know, David, for all intents and purposes, takes up a massive offering.
It was enormous, yeah.
He actually told the people to stop. We've got enough. But he makes this statement. He says, it is the Lord who makes men great and gives them strength.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, whatever we have, even if it's a, you know, I recently was asked to officiate a wedding in Florida for a young man that grew up in this church and now lives in Florida. And so I went down there, and the gal he's marrying, her father is a billionaire. Have I talked about this on the podcast?
I don't remember, but go ahead.
I think he's a billionaire. He's got a ton of money.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the rehearsal dinner was at his house.
Oh, boy.
And he bought his house from the lead singer of AC/DC. If that tells you something.
Yeah, okay? That says a lot.
I was absolutely blown away. I pulled up to the driveway, and I start snapping pictures with my phone and texting Mary, who was not with me. I was like, you're not going to believe this.
I had similar reactions to like when I coached baseball. There were some dads who were very well off who hosted, you know, different team gatherings and stuff like that. And I would pull up and just like, oh, their back porch is literally as big as my house.
It was crazy. The guy owns an island in upstate New York. Not a house on the island.
Right. The whole island.
The whole island. And he flies on his private jet up north during the summer.
So he doesn't have to be in the long tube full of demons.
Right. And then he flies back home into Sarasota in the winter and lives in Florida. The guy's amazing. And he's been a CEO for hire for years and years and years, and companies would hire him to come in, be the CEO, take the company public, cash out, move on to the next one. And then the last gig he had, he actually, instead of just being hired as the CEO, he bought the company and then sold it for several billion dollars.
Right. Good for him.
And so I'm sitting on his veranda. What do you call a back porch that's bigger than my house? I don't know. Overlooking the water in Florida. It's just absolutely gorgeous. The sun is setting. And I am, just me and him. Just the two of us sitting side by side. Mm-hmm. And I am peppering this guy with questions.
Yeah.
Because he was so forthcoming in telling me his story and how he got there. You know, that's how I know about being a CEO for hire and the company he sold for billions and all that stuff. And I finally asked him, because he was just being so transparent with me, I said, what's your secret sauce? Like, what makes you so great at this that you would end up here? And here's what he said to me. He said, Bradley, he said, it was said very humbly. Mm-hmm. He said, I'm a mathematical genius. He said, I know the solution before most people know there's a problem. Mm. And he said, I'm able to come into a company and do the math, and we're going to do this, and we're going to change that, and we're going to move here, and we're going to take this location and move it over here. We're going to sell this. We're going to borrow this much. He's like, I can just bam, 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 because I know the math, and I know how it's going to work.
Right.
And it works. Right. And then I end up, he ends up being very, very successful. The Lord is the one who makes men great and gives mm-hmm. them strength. He gives them skills, right?
Yep.
This guy was given by a sovereign God an incredible skill that he's leveraged, and he's made a lot of money.
And this is what we talk about when we talk about blessing, and particularly Deuteronomic blessing.
Exactly.
It's not, I do this, and in return, God gives me other stuff.
No.
Right? It's I'm obedient, which is God's gift.
Yeah.
And but God gifts me things and spiritual blessings as well, of course. All of it is a gift. The obedience is a gift. The hard work is a gift. And whatever material blessing is reaped is a gift. Yep. It's not wage.
Yep. And so I think that, God does this even for the unregenerate. He causes the sun to rise and the rain to fall on both the just and the unjust.
Right.
And so regardless of whether or not a person is a Christian, their gifts and skills come from the Lord.
Yep.
And people have the opportunity to leverage those and make the most of them.
Right.
And that happens for both the saved and the unsaved. But the saved think differently.
Exactly.
Like, we think differently about the fruit of our labor and the success that may come to us because we've been faithful stewards of what God's entrusted to us. Now we have to be faithful stewards of the benefits we reap from that. And I think it's really, to me, it's as simple as, Lord, what would you have me do?
Yeah.
I mean, what if we just prayed? And like, we've got X number of hundreds or thousands of dollars extra at the end of a month, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
What if Christians merely adopted the attitude of, this is all the Lord's. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Lord, what would you have me do?
Right.
Would it be that he would say, I want you to save for retirement and future generosity?
Right.
Or is it something that I wanted you to you know, proceed with present generosity? Like, what would you have me do? I had a friend of mine who was helping plant a church not far from here. And as part of their initial kind of get the word out, we're a new church in town, they decided to divide up. And I don't love this, but anyway, decided to divide up and go out and do random acts of kindness kind of thing.
Okay, yeah.
And so he and a little team of people from the church, you know, kind of core group, they are commissioned to go to a laundromat and pay for everybody's laundry. Okay. And they've got a couple hundred bucks cash that the pastor gave them. And so they pulled up into the parking lot, and my friend, and this is what I love. I love that he did this.
Okay, here we go.
My friend stops. He stops the group before they get out of the car, and he said, "I'll tell you what, let's do. We can go in here and we can pay for everybody's laundry in the laundromat." But he said, "Let's just pray and let's just ask Jesus what he wants us to do. We're mm-hmm. here. We got a couple hundred bucks. What would you have us do?" Mm-hmm. And there was this collective agreement, okay, that they felt like they all kind of zeroed in on this one particular lady in the laundromat. And they were like, "We just feel like we need to pay for her laundry. Mm-hmm. Not everybody else is in here. Her laundry." So they go in. They pay for her laundry. They tell them, you know, the story, or tell her the story, why they're there. She breaks into tears, gives her heart to Christ, and they walk out of that laundry mat. They go back to their pastor, hand him whatever was left from that little cash.
$198.
$198 or whatever, and they say, "The Lord hasn't told us what to do with this yet. We're going to put it back in the till." I think there's yeah. something really sweet about that, to right. realize that, you know, let's not assume that just because we're rich, or we have an abundance, or we have maybe a little bit more that we need, that God would just, you know, tell us to park it or give it all away. Mm-hmm. You know, could we not trust that God knows what he's doing, and that we could be led in both saving and in generosity?
Yep.
That, you know, there is some that the Lord would want us to enjoy. I mean, Paul talks about that in Corinthians.
Yeah. That's even in Acts, in the story about Ananias and Sapphira, where they sell their property and then lie about how much they made because they said they were giving it all. They held some back, and God kills them for it because yeah. they weren't honest about it. It's not, and Peter's blunt. He says, "This was your land, and you could have done whatever you wanted to with it, and you could have even not given us all of that." Came out.
Just don't lie about it.
Just don't lie about it. Don't lie to, and particularly don't lie to God, because he already knows. Yep. Who do you think you're fooling here?
The real problem with the prosperity gospel is the way that it equates spiritual vitality with material blessing.
Right.
Or it equates the quality and genuineness of your faith with whether or not you're healthy and have more than you need.
Mm-hmm.
And generally speaking, healthy, more than you need, is, in terms of the prosperity gospel, is measured by Western American standards, not the rest of the world.
Right.
That's why I think, you know, we talked about last time, even unbelievers can smell the hypocrisy and the
right.
just the toxicity of the prosperity gospel.
Right. And again, there's a difference between, you know, we ride bikes all the time. You work out more than I do, but we generally take care of ourselves. Mm-hmm. And so things like our blood pressure and cholesterol are under control. Mm-hmm. So because we're being obedient to God and taking care of our bodies, there is blessing in that.
Yep.
There's also the fact that we steward our finances well. We work hard, stuff like that. And when you work hard, you're going to reap that harvest. Mm-hmm. But it's not simply because we gave a bunch of money to the church and then God said, "Okay, here you go," just magically.
Yep.
That's how the prosperity gospel works.
That's right.
Is it basically turns God into a vending machine, as opposed to treating the world as God has made it. The way that the cross politic guys have talked about markets is they all function on mutual blessing. Mm. So if you give me the blessing voluntarily of whatever currency we're using, mm-hmm. and then I can use that one for more materials and to make more products and to pay my bills and to buy food, I will give you the blessing of this product that I've created that you can now turn around and use that to bless your life and others' lives.
Right.
As opposed to this vending machine, you know, just plug in the quarter and get out, whatever.
You know, we believe God is sovereign.
Yes.
And we also believe that the scripture says you reap what you sow.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been stewing on this because we're teaching through Hebrews right now. We're right at the end of chapter 3, beginning chapter 4. And the author of Hebrews is, you know, using the wilderness wandering and the fact that a whole generation of Jews died in the wilderness without reaching the promised land,
right,
or the rest of the promised land, which mm-hmm. he uses metaphorically to talk about New Testament salvation.
Right.
And you know, what's interesting is that to think about the fact that I don't believe that every person who died in the wilderness, having come short of the promised land, was condemned to hell for all eternity.
Absolutely not. Right.
If you believe that, then you got to believe that Moses is in hell.
Right.
Because Moses didn't get there.
I'm sure you could find somebody who believes that. Yeah.
Well, I mean, he had one moment of disobedience, let's say.
Right.
You know, he hit the rock instead of spoke to it, and the water came out anyway, but he didn't enter the promised land.
Right.
But did God get his people to the promised land?
Yes.
Yes, he did. When it comes to our salvation, those whom he called, he justified.
Mm-hmm.
Those whom he justified, he's also glorified, mm-hmm. right? We will be conformed to the image of his son.
Right.
That is going to happen. God has given us the Spirit as a guarantee of our inheritance. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice because my Father's given them to me, and no one will take them out of my hand.
Right.
So our salvation is predetermined, and it's guaranteed. We're going to get there.
Mm-hmm.
But this is something I've been stewing on, and it might make its way into the sermon on Sunday. I'm going to test drive it right now.
So if you go to Resurrection Church, here's a little taste.
Yeah.
The Thursday before the sermon comes out.
Yeah. So I think there's a range of joy that can be experienced by believers in the space of time between our new birth and the final resurrection, let's say,
mm-hmm.
when our faith is turned to sight.
Right.
I think there's a range of joy, right?
That's not even arguable.
No, in other words, I could be on the Titanic standing at the, what's the back of the boat? It's not the bow.
The stern.
Thank you. I couldn't think of the word. I could be on the back of the boat at the stern, staring at where we've left, kicking and screaming because I don't want to go to New York City. Mm-hmm. I don't want to cross it. But guess what? The boat's still moving. I'm going to get there.
Right.
Right?
Right.
It's like we're
assuming you don't drown. Is that where Hebrews comes in?
Yeah.
Since you're on the Titanic.
Well, I shouldn't have used the Titanic. Maybe that all analogies break down. But you get the point. Like I'm going to be conformed to the image of his son. Mm-hmm. God will accomplish all his purpose in my life, and he will mm-hmm. bring me to glory. That's going right. to happen. But along the way, I think I have the opportunity to lean in, avail myself, and experience greater joy. I mm-hmm. think that's what the author of Hebrews is getting at there at the end of chapter 3 and into chapter 4. And when it comes to stewardship, when it comes to working hard, making as much as you can, we have an opportunity to experience the greatest levels of joy in that.
Yeah.
God is sovereign over that. Mm-hmm. He's the one that makes men great and gives them strength.
Mm-hmm.
But we get the opportunity to experience tremendous blessings in that. And Jesus said, it's more blessed to give than to receive,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yep.
We have the opportunity to experience the blessing of generosity. We have the opportunity to experience the joy of working hard for the glory of God and seeing ourselves as stewards and not owners, blessing our children, blessing our church. There's just a tremendous amount of joy that I think the prosperity gospel, quite frankly, limits.
Well, even you know, ignoring the prosperity gospel implications, that last minute and a half would fix the entire world's economy overnight, right? If we're rooting everything in joy and blessing each other and being generous, then you don't need the government to take 30% of your paycheck.
It's so true.
Which, I mean, I mean, let's be honest, in 1 Samuel 8, when Israel wants a king, Samuel says, let me tell you how bad it's going to be. He's going to tax you 10%.
Yep.
Right? And now we think, man, that would be a good deal.
We'll
right?
take that all
but,
day.
But the point was, the government was putting itself on par with God.
Yep.
Now, what does that say when it's taking 3, 4, 5 times more than what God asks, yep. or at least asks Old Testament? Well, that's another discussion altogether. But when the government is taking even more, what is the government saying about itself? It really is God. Mm-hmm. But if we live from one generosity and joy and mutual blessing, the economy writes itself mm-hmm. immediately.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now that doesn't say that it's going to be easy. Mm-hmm. There are going to be some people who have to bite the bullet on some things.
Yeah.
Right, because they're going to have to learn to live within their means. They're going to have to not rack up obscene amounts of debt like we have. We're going to also have to learn how to actually pay off our debtors. Like I know that there's some people legitimately struggling with repaying student loan debt now that that's kicked back in, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you know, they're just going to have to live with the fact that they made that decision and they're going to have to pay it back.
Yeah.
Because they promised to.
Yeah.
Right. And so when an entire economy operates on, yes, I'm actually going to do what I say I'm going to do, man, that's a much better paradigm.
It is. It is. Yeah. It's good.
Good. I think we, anything else? I don't know.
No.
I don't know.
I'm out of words.
Yeah. Well, I don't believe that for a second.
We can keep talking.
Yeah. So one verse that really pops out for me that I actually have tattooed is Proverbs 22:29. Do you see a man skilled in his work? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before obscure men.
Mm.
If you actually hone your craft, you end up, and in my industry, I end up working with multi-platinum artists.
Yeah.
It's just a fact, like your guy who humbly said, I'm a mathematical genius, I make a dang good guitar pedal.
Yeah, you do.
It's just a fact. Like, that's not me being boastful. It's a good product. It's reliable, it's durable, it sounds good, and it sounds cleaner than most other pedals out there.
Mm.
And so that's how I've gotten to where I am now. And why would anyone say there's anything wrong with that in the first place? But trying to grow my market share, trying to get on as many pedal boards as possible for the glory of God and the tone of his people seems like a win-win.
Yeah, I just think it's good stewardship, honestly.
Good.
I've watched you go from, you know, working in that for that company doing social media management or whatever you
were
beforehand and very frustrated and just to taking a leap and starting your own business and doing something you're passionate about and you know, making every effort for it to be for the glory of God, and also do it well, do a good job.
Mm-hmm.
There's just something really God-honoring and sweet about that. I think we used to have a statement around here, excellence honors God and inspires people. And I think that's true.
Right.
I think it's a worthwhile thing to, and excellence not being having the best, but doing the best with what you have.
Right.
That's clearly what Jesus was after in the parable of the talents.
Right. And I'm not doing like these big digital, like the DSP giant, like Line 6 Helix, Strymon timeline type of stuff. That's above my pay grade.
Right.
But I'm doing the best with what I have in terms of the resources I have accessible to me. Mm-hmm. With some things coming down the pipeline I'm really excited about that'll actually push a little farther. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm doing the best with what I got as far as I can tell. If I'm not, somebody let me know. Daly will let me know.
But your joy, like, and maybe this is worth mentioning too. Your joy and your generosity are not contingent solely on the financial success of Westminster Effects.
Right.
Like, you know, we think about, you know, Paul's lauding of the Macedonians and Corinthians when they gave beyond their means.
Mm-hmm.
Out of their extreme poverty and great affliction, Paul actually had to tell them to stop.
Right.
Why? Because of the grace of God. Mm-hmm. Right. The grace of God is our prosperity. His favor on our lives that we could not merit in any way is ultimately where our joy is anchored.
Right. And I think that is a gift from God to me as well, where like you know, you'll ask how business is going. And if one, if it's in July, and if it's in January, I'm slow. Like, that's just how it goes. And then, so there have been times that we've podcasted and I can linger a little longer because I'm slower. And then there are other times, like when Warwick Distribution put in their first order last year, was like, I got to go.
Yeah.
Like, we hit stop and I'm out the door.
Yeah, right, right, right.
Like, running around like a madman. Yep. Because I don't have enough time in the day to actually get everything done. And somehow it all got done. But yeah, that is a gift from God as well, is to have that stability of not going into full-blown freak-out mode of, oh, well, sales are down this month, or sales are really, really up this month, and being manic about both of those.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So, you've done well.
Thanks.
I mean, it's really good.
Thanks. Yeah. So go buy more stuff. Help me pay my bills. WestminsterEffects.com.
Sow $1,000 seed in Resurrection Church, and all your debts will be canceled.
So, yeah, WestminsterEffects.com.
I'm kidding, by the way.
Yes, he is kidding. He does not mean that at all. WestminsterEffects.com. Or there's also dealers. I have my entire dealer list at WestminsterEffects.com. So you can go try the thing before you actually buy it. That's when people get hooked, is when I show up to NAMM and people actually have the headphone rig on and they go through everything. They're like, holy crap, this is awesome. So, yeah, go try the thing. Or go buy it and try it. And if you don't like it, we can exchange it. We can do that too. So,
shout out to the new listeners too.
Yeah, shout out to those new listeners and to the NAMM friends and all that good stuff. It was great seeing y'all last week. So, and one more shout out. Art and Sophia with Lyman Guitar were super clutch. They didn't exhibit, but they went, and I hooked them up with badges, and they, like, Thursday, I was so busy, I literally only left to go to the restroom.
Wow.
And they, like, they brought me food and all that. So, shout out to Art and Sophia with Lyman Guitar. So, y'all were awesome. So, go love God, love your neighbor, make some music. We'll see you next time.